America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast. It's a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary.
My name is Black.
Really?
Blake. There we go.
Blake hasn't eaten nor slept in days.
And we're back. That's what I was trying to say.
Oh, you were trying to say we're back.
And we're back.
My name
but
is
my
Blake.
Blake, Black. Hey, way to start the show on a good foot.
Wow, Blake. People are really, really sad that they missed us all this time.
This is bad.
Well, oh, we do want to apologize for having a severe hiatus. We had to stop.
There's a lot of crap that happened.
We moved.
We're pregnant again.
Yes.
We found out we're having a girl.
Yay, which is fantastic. But my second pregnancy is really different than my first. So I was like incapacitated. I was just not feeling good, guys. You would not want me in a microphone.
We're coming at you from a brand new studio, as a matter of fact. We built it in our basement. So now we're not doing our podcast anymore on the dining room table in our apartment.
We're classy now. We're next to the cat litter instead.
I know. We have brand new microphones. We have a whole brand new setup. It's phenomenal. So we're kind of professional now.
We would be professional if my cat didn't chew through my headphone wire.
Oh, my God. So she can only hear through one speaker.
Yeah, I feel a little lopsided, but nonetheless, we're back.
Not only that, but we've become better podcasters, actually.
Look at you patting yourself on the back.
Well, no, we have. We've put a lot of work into it, in addition to all the other crap that's going on. If you haven't listened to us in a while, we have some other podcasts that we were doing as well. We were doing one for The Leftovers on HBO, and we were also doing one for Outlander on Stars. And during that time, I think we perfected our craft. I think we got a lot better than what we were.
I'd say we got better. I think perfection is such a high thing to reach towards. You should always keep reaching towards perfection.
Well, I guess perfected our craft is probably a misnomer. That's probably not the right thing to do.
Anyway, we are here to talk about parenting with you guys.
And back again,
baby. And we are so excited to talk with you about this episode. Well, Blake is very excited. I'm nervous that we're going to get hate mail.
That's okay. Hey, this is the Festivus episode. I know on our last podcast, we said that the next episode was going to be, you're a brand new mom and everything's going to be okay. And unfortunately, since we had such a huge hiatus, we got into the Christmas season and we decided, you know what? We're going to have a Festivus episode. So in celebration of everything Jerry Stiller, we're having a Festivus episode, and it's all about the airing of parental grievances.
Okay, so elaborate on this for me.
The airing of parental grievances is stuff that we have found that other parents do that really piss us off. And it's the whole idea. Well, one of the ideas behind Festivus is the airing of grievances. The other ones are like the feats of strength and everything. But since we can't really prove our feats of strength over a podcast, we can do the airing.
I'm growing a human. That's a pretty good feat of strength.
That is. That's quite a good feat. I couldn't do it.
Speaking of feet, my feet are swelling. Can I put them up?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Here,
thanks.
Put them up on my... Yeah. Okay, there we go.
Yes. Okay, so as Blake said, these are things that you may find annoying in other parents.
Or you may hate them.
So Blake being Blake, will probably be a lot more strong feeling about all of these things, and I'm probably going to identify with every single one of them.
and probably just temper everything that I have to say, because
hopefully
that's what you're good at.
All right, well, let's jump in this.
Well, actually, you know what? Let's get into the judgment-free zone first.
Oh, yes. How could I ever forget?
All right. So I'm not sure who did the last judgment-free zone. I really don't care because I'm taking over the judgment-free zone this
time. Do it.
I'm totally doing it. So the other day, Reese, who is now 20 months old or 21 months
21.
Old now. So I think the last time we talked to you, I think he was only 14 months. I think. Ish, whatever. Reese, I get him ready in the morning, and I get him dressed, I get him fed, I get him out to our nanny share that we have, which we are so thankful that we have. And one of the things I had to do one day was I had to get him dressed, and Mary wanted him in jeans. She was very specific about jeans.
It was very cold out, so I said, Blake, please make sure he's in jeans and socks, because sometimes Blake, like, skimps on things, and he'll, like, send our kid out in, like, sandals in 30 degree weather.
That's a rookie mistake. Sorry, I had my phone not in a good sound mode. Okay, now we're on mute. Okay, so yes, I took this very literally, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna get him in jeans. I'm totally gonna get him in jeans. So I'm getting him ready, and I get the clothes on, get the shirt, get the onesie, get the diaper, everything's going ready, and then I get the jeans. And I can only find one pair of jeans. So I put it on. I'm like, wow, man, these things are tight. Like, what the heck? Let's go. Come on. Let's put these things up. So finally, I get them up, and they look like hipster jeans. But you know what? They're okay. It's fine. It fits. It's all fine. So I get some socks. I put one sock on. I couldn't find another sock. So I looked over, and boom, there's another sock, right?
I love your reasoning because I know the outcome.
So there's the other sock. I put it on. It's a little big. But I figured, hey, whatever. It must have stretched out. I don't know. Something must have happened. So I get him in, and I'm getting ready to go. Actually, I wasn't bringing him to the nanny. I'm sorry. I was bringing him to work that day.
Even better.
And I bring him into work, and one of my employees goes up to me and says, Blake, what is up with Reese? And I said, what? What's up? She said, he looks like he's homeless. And I said, why? What are you talking about? Apparently, I had put him in six-month jeans when he is 21 months old.
It wasn't even just 6 months. It was the 3 to 6 month jeans.
And apparently, they were so tight, and I lifted them up so far.
You know when you're like trying to put your pants on after Thanksgiving, and you say, I think I'm just going to wear my stretchy pants. Because it hurts too much.
I'm sorry.
Blake squeezed our poor kid into pants that he wore a year before.
I'm crying. I'm trying to get through this the best that I can. It was so tight. It was so small on him that I ripped a hole.
A hole in the butt.
In the butt.
You know, like in movies and people have split jeans? Blake split our child's jeans, putting them on, and still thought it was okay.
I didn't know that the hole was there. All right. And then, to make it even worse, the sock that I put on him, apparently, that was a little too big, it was Mary's sock, and I didn't know, so, yeah.
And it's not even like I have small feet. I'm a tall woman, so I have, like, size 10, 10 and a half, size foot. You know, I don't have these little petite, cute little feet. I have like hobbit feet.
And it had like the pink heel.
Yes.
And like
it
the pink toe.
It went all the way up his leg. It almost looked like it was a thigh high,
oh.
But a woman's athletic crew cut sock. So,
yeah.
Of course, I come to go get Reese at work, and I realize all of this. And I said, gosh, he has a split in his pants. These pants look very short and very tight. Oh, it's because they're pants he wore a year ago. How Blake found these pants, I have no idea. And then I said, and while we're at this, what's up with this sock? Yep.
That's me. That's your dad. Hey, and this is the judgment-free zone, right?
I judged you then.
A little bit.
Yeah, a lot.
All right, what do you say we get into the show?
Okay.
All right, so like we said, this is going to be all about the airing of parental grievances. Everything that pissed us off over the year that we saw parents do, and all the things that happened that we just realize, dude, I have to just get this out of my brain so I can move on with my life and be a better parent. So that's the idea behind it.
Okay.
So this is going to take the form of the kind of parents that we're talking about. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. Number one, the yapper. The person who doesn't shut the heck up about their kid. All they do is they just talk about their kid. Every single freaking conversation is about how little Johnny did that. Little Abigail did this. Oh my God, my kid can say the entire freaking alphabet and he's only 6 months old. Dude, I've had enough of you already. Do you know anything else other than, oh my God, my kid, blah, 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 blah.
Tell me how you really feel, Blake.
I've had it with this. I've totally had it with all of it.
You know what I think it is? I think it's people who their kid has become their life, and that's what you talk about. You know how a lot of people talk about their job, and that's all they talk about is, oh, at work, this person did this, and at work, I had to deal with this problem. Well, say you're a stay-at-home mom, and your kid is your job, and your kid is also your best friend because you don't really get out much anymore. So you can't like tell people, oh, guess what Mary Lou said? It's more just like, guess what my kid drooled today?
Yep. But you're still a human being. You have other things in your life that happen to you.
Not really.
What are you talking about? You don't watch TV. You don't go to work.
I'm saying
you don't have other friends. You don't like go on Facebook. You don't like talk about
Facebook.
The news. You don't. Like, come on, you got to watch TV. Like, maybe you're in love with The Walking Dead. You're not going to talk about that at all? It's all about your kid, and all you do is flaunt your kid's, successes everywhere you go.
Well, if your kid's really good at something, you want to share the good news.
Oh, my God. I hate parents like that.
Okay, the second...
No. There we go. Now we can move on.
Oh, sorry. The second one you put down is the oversharer.
Yes. Now, this is the person on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram where they document their kid's life every freaking second of the day. And my entire feed is just full of people's kids.
Is this me?
No.
There's hesitancy. Am I the oversharer?
No, I don't think you're the oversharer. The oversharer is the person that's like, oh my God, my kid pooped today.
Yeah, but I'm a blogger.
Yeah, but no, that's different.
I think it's like in my nature to be an oversharer.
That's entirely
the oversharer.
No, yeah. You're not. That's different because the blog, Tall Mom, Tiny Baby, by the way, is all about the kid and your experience with the kid. There's a purpose there. Facebook is not about that. Facebook is about you and your life and your daily life.
Once again, though, that is my daily life is, you know.
No, but you have other things. You have work. You have everything.
But when
going
I wasn't
on.
Working, that was my work.
You had me. We had podcasts.
I didn't see
we
you.
We had TV. We had everything going on. And like, this is the, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Don't play the devil's advocate like this much.
No, well, I'm just saying that a lot of people appreciate, say you're someone's family and you live far away. It sometimes is nice to see that, oh, little Joey rolls over and he can sit up by himself.
Yeah, key word.
Look what he did today.
Sometimes, not every single thing. Oh my God. Little Joey puked in his crib.
Okay.
Oh my God. Little Joey took a step. Oh my God. Little Joey blinked. Oh my God. Little Joey farted. I don't need to hear about little Joey every single 5 seconds of my life.
I guess if you're going to be an oversharer, make sure that your photos are really good. Because if they're blurry or if they have poop in them, I can't. I just can't. You're blocked. You are unfollowed. Number three, you wrote down the mess leaver.
Yes.
What is a mess leaver?
You know those parents that are at like restaurants?
Yep.
And they let their kid run rampant everywhere. And they just let the kid throw food and like eat it and throw it on the ground. And like they don't like clean it up and they just leave it for the poor freaking waiter or waitress to do all the dirty work.
Yeah.
I cannot stand that. I can't. It boils my blood because I'm in the service industry for my job. And if someone, and this happens all the time, people do this. They'll take muffins and donuts and just throw it all over the ground. Like they literally crumble it up and just all over the ground. I can't stand it. I literally cannot stand it.
You know what stinks is that I've done this. I have been the mess leaver, and it's tough because your kid starts throwing food when they're about to break down and lose it. You know, they're bored. Get me out of this restaurant. And food gets thrown. And you can only keep them in that darn high chair for so long before they learn how to wiggle out of it. They become contortionists and they just start doing it. And I think, you know what? I'm just going to leave the guy more money and go, because I need to strap this kid in the car seat and go, because it's nap time now. Yeah, not nap time in 3 minutes. I don't have time to pick up every single pea and shred of chicken. And I'm not crawling under that disgusting table. Like, what's going to happen to my kid? He's going to run around and throw more things.
I get it. I get it. And I'm not expecting you to pick up every single little thing. You can't do that. That's when you leave the guy like a couple extra bucks as a tip to be like, hey, dude, I'm sorry. Like, what do you want me to do? I got a kid. But you should be at least cleaning as you go, number one. Or number two, you should make at least an effort to pick up.
Okay.
Like, don't leave big chunks of crap everywhere. It's rude. That's what it is, you know? And like, come on. Yes, it's the waiter's job to clean up after you. I agree. But within reason. Okay, you don't like take a dump on the table and smear it all over the place and be like, hey, bro, sorry, you got to clean up after me no matter what. Like, you don't do that. You know what I mean?
I hope you don't do that. That's disgusting. Number four, the identity losers.
Yes. Now, I've seen this a lot. Not necessarily from you, but from other parents who what they do is they start referring to themselves as mommy and daddy. What's wrong with that, you say? Well, they do this outside of interactions with their kid. Like, let's say if you're with your kid, right? He's like, hey, go get mama her water, or go give this to daddy. That's okay, because you're interacting with your kid. You know what I mean? If you're doing it outside of interacting with your kid, like, let's say we're in bed and you're like, hey, mommy, you know, or like, if it's a joke, I think that's fine. Or, but if you're like, oh, daddy, can you pick that up? Oh my God. I just, that is not going to happen. The other thing I hate too is when parents will tell their kids something like within earshot of like the other parent. Be like, and they'll say, daddy's going to change you, and then we're going to go to bed. And like, clearly the other parents in the other room, and they can hear it, and you're the person saying it to be kind of passive aggressive.
Are you looking at me because I do this?
Well, I look at you because I'm podcasting with you, you hoop. So these are the things that really, and these are the identity losers. They're becoming mom and dad,
they
other than themselves.
They are mom and dad.
No. What I mean is, like, other than themselves, they're not them, like, you are still Mary Lassen. I'm still Blake Lassen. No matter what, we are still who we are. We're not just solely mom and dad. And that's what these people are. If you refer to me as daddy outside of interacting with Reese, I may freak out.
Oh, my God. Blake and I actually had this conversation maybe mid last year. And he said, listen, because I can't have you calling me daddy. I am not your dad. Mm-hmm. I feel kind of weird if you call me dad. So if you call me dad while Reese is here, fine. But don't call me daddy. And I've slipped. I have slipped, guys. There have been times where Reese could be totally asleep and I'll be like, hey, daddy, are you doing this? And then I'll realize, I probably just weirded Blake out. But my problem is that I get so used to calling you daddy because Reese is around.
I know, and that's okay. I get it. If you have a slip up every once in a while, that's fine. But just again, just doing it constantly and forgetting the fact that you actually have a name.
Yeah.
Your name is Mary. Like, let's say, I know we also run into the problem too of being like parents or people being like, hey, babe, can you do this? Or honey or sweetheart, can you do this? You don't actually say each other's name a whole lot. I get that too. That happens all the time. I've tried to like make a conscious choice to get away from that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to call you mom because you're not my mom. And I hear this all the time from people. It drives me insane.
When you had the identity losers, it made me think of something different. It made me actually think about when parents say we, when it's really just the kid. So like,
oh yeah, that too.
We're working on using the potty right now.
No, what? We are not.
We're spitting up a lot. We actually had five poops today. Well, and you know, hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. These parents literally are like, wee, wee, wee. And I noticed
What are they like?
Wee, 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 all the way home. Okay. And I noticed it as soon as I started going to mom's groups and hanging out with new moms. And I get it. And I think it's just easy and it's part of the culture. Just like how if you're around a lot of people who say like, you suddenly are saying like more frequently than you'd hope to.
That's true.
But in my head, every time I hear a wee, I giggle. We're outgrowing our clothes every month.
Oh my God. No, we are not. Unless you're eating like a champ. Okay. Or we're taking five poops. Yes, probably we collectively are taking five poops.
We've been very constipated since starting solid food.
Oh my God. That's awful.
Oh my. But it's. Sorry. See, I'm still like laughing. I'm still laughing. But do that. Next time you're out with a parent that does that.
The bell happened. Keep going. Who cares?
Next time you're with a parent that does it, really think like we've been constipated since we started salad food. That's a long time.
I'm telling you. That's like, that's a good 31 years.
That's a real long
time. Bro, take a Maalox or whatever the heck it is. Or what's it called? Not a Maalox.
Dukalax.
Dukalax or X-Lax or whatever. Take anyway, a Beano for Christ's sake.
Lax. but really tell yourself, like, listen to the wheeze and then just giggle a little.
It happens a lot. And I'm telling you, this mommy and daddy thing happens more often than you would think, too.
Number five, you put down the judger, which you're kind of being right now, Blake.
Well, that's the idea behind Festivus and the airing of parental grievances. You can do it once a year. Okay. That's the whole idea. But the judge is a person, that they just think that they are the absolute freaking bee's knees about whatever they do in parenting.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
They're like the Oprah.
Yeah. And they are sitting there saying, like, you'd be like, nah, you know, I don't want to do cloth diapers. You know, I don't want to have to deal with it. And they're like, oh no, do you realize how much trash you're making for the world? And all they do is just like, they judge you and they don't agree with whatever method you're using. And they're either being passive aggressive about shooting you down. Like, oh, I heard that actually like giving tap water causes like a third eye, you know, or they do it right in front of your face. They'll be like, no, you're wrong.
Oh, that's the worst. I agree with you. There are a lot of judgy parents out there, and it sucks. And it sucks so much, especially when you're pregnant or a total new parent, and you're already nervous because you're like, what the heck am I doing with this squishy little moving baby? And suddenly someone says, I can't believe you're using regular diapers.
Like, what are you thinking?
You're using regular wipes? Like, don't you know that they're very sensitive? You should mm-hmm. really be using just water and this or that. And, you know, to each their own. Blake and I chose not to cloth diaper, and that's just because we are lazy. We don't feel like doing more loads of laundry.
No, it's not because we're just lazy. It's because we don't really feel like shooting crap all over ourselves with water and doing all the plumbing. And listen, I don't need to go on another rant about this.
Okay. Anyway, but I agree. Blake and I have actually interacted with some people who have come out and been like, you guys just parent wrong. Have said, you parent incorrectly.
You're wrong. Like, no matter what, you're wrong. And that to me is, it's out of control. It's my kid. How can you tell me that I'm wrong? How can you judge the way that I want to raise my kid? If, like, I drag my kid over hot coals and like, fire every day, then, yeah, you have the right to judge me because I'm torturing my child. But if I just choose to make my kid go to public school and you're like, oh, God, no. Why would you ever do that? He must go to private school. You are lame. Like, dude, go pound sand. That's what I want to say to all of them. Seriously. Just go pound sand.
Number six, the ignoramus. Ignoramus.
The ignoramus.
That sounds like a dinosaur from the Jurassic period.
Next up comes the ignoramus, the people who are pregnant and believe they have it all figured out. They also are herbivores.
Well, a lot of these ignoramuses are freaking vegetarians. They're like, well, I'm not going to get into that quite yet because that's also one of our things. But these are the people like who are pregnant
for the first time.
Yeah, and they feel like they got it all figured out.
Because they read the books.
Like, I'm never, ever going to let my kid watch TV. Or, oh my God, an internal monitor on my child? Have you seen that screw? There's no way I'm ever going to do that.
I watched The Business of Being Born.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I cannot get an epidural.
Ricky Lake told me to not get this internal monitor. Ricky Lake said I must have a water birth and I have to have a midwife and I have to do it at home. Really? My ass. Seriously. Like, I have no time for you. Zero. You have zero idea what it's like when your kid is sick, teething, or having an issue with like an internal issue, and he's up at 3:30 in the morning crying. You haven't slept in 2 days, and the only thing that will ever calm your kid down is freaking Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Listen, if you have your kid in that bed, and the only thing that calms him down is Mickey, and you finally get like an hour's worth of sleep because that's how long the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse Road Rally actually is. And trust me, I know. I've done it a billion times.
I think it's only 43 minutes.
Whatever it is, then that's 43 minutes of freaking sleep that you did not have. And trust me, you're going to want it.
Well, you know, it's tough because people can have their own priorities. They can have their birth plans. They can have all these hopes. But it's when they're judging. The ignoramus people become judgers as well. Because if they come out and they say, oh, you let your child watch TV? My child doesn't know who Mickey is. That's what kills me. Because Reese is obsessed with Mickey. I didn't want Reese to watch TV. I was the ignoramus. I was like, my kid is not going to watch TV until he's two. I've read all these reports. He's going to be dumb and fat if he does this and like not be able to count or speak because he's going to have vocab problems. Reese had colic and still doesn't sleep very well. And
yeah, how's that working for you?
Well, I'm not. You know, actually, TV isn't good for sleep either. I mean, there's other things that say that. But Blake's right. I mean, it gets to a point occasionally where, you know, you have a woman who's pregnant and little man just wants to jump in his crib and scream. And if he has something that can relax him a little bit, I've delved into it. And it's not that we always do it. It's not always our pacifier, but it is tough when you have someone who is pregnant who says, oh my gosh, I would never let them do this. Or I would never get an epidural. Like, I can't believe these people get epidurals. And I didn't want an epidural. I had to get one at the end. And you know what? It was like a magic carpet ride. I don't know what it would be like if I hadn't been 9 centimeters dilated and a day and a half exhausted from labor. I don't even know, man. I was already with Aladdin on that carpet, but as soon as they gave me that, it was magic. That's right, shining, shimmering, splendid.
And
okay?
And that's what I'm talking about. These people that are so convicted. They're convicted about, oh my God, I will never, ever do that. And that just, it drives me insane.
I like that they're educated because that's it. It's good to be educated about the pros and cons of things like epidurals or
totally
television.
Agree.
Like, television is such an easy pacifier. It's such an easy babysitter. And I love that there's so much research out there to say, this is why it's bad. And that generally is because a lot of people do just their kids in front of it for hours on end. But I think that it's important for people who haven't been there, done that yet, to realize, hey, you know what?
There's a bigger world out there.
Yeah. Like my friend that I'm talking to is a pretty smart person. They probably didn't ideally want their kid to watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse at 18 months old. But, their kid's a terror.
Yeah.
And they wanted to, microwave dinner because it's all they have time for is 5 minutes to microwave dinner.
And tell me, is there better relief than knowing that my kid is like just sitting there and being still for like 20 minutes?
I would prefer it if he was still reading a book.
Yeah, but are you going to tell me that our 20-month-old is going to sit down and read a book for 20 minutes?
He could read books. He could color. He could busy himself. Some 20-month-olds do. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but
I see these babies on Facebook. I see them on Facebook
the oversharers.
And they're like, my kid is saying all these words and is reading all these books and doing all these things. And I'm like, crap.
my kid just watches Mickey.
No, he doesn't watch Mickey all the time, please.
No, but and then there's the other thing too that I want to say this. If you do have a kid and you still maintain the fact and you make sure that your kid doesn't watch TV, I'm actually proud of you and I wish I could be you. Because
I'm just saying, don't have another kid. Because watch out, because your next one's going to give you a rough go.
Oh, I know.
No, I'm kidding.
No, but like, if you're still convicted and you have a kid and you're doing it and it's working for you, awesome. Like, seriously, like that's an applause for you guys. I'm really happy that you can do that. But for those of you who are pregnant and you're like, oh my god, not going to work for me.
Okay, number 7 is the complainer.
Oh my God, my life is so hard. I have one kid, or I have two kids, or I have three kids. Everything they do is just they complain about their kids.
This is you sometimes.
No, no way.
Why can't my kid just sleep? Why does our kid not sleep? Why do all the other kids sleep?
Okay, maybe.
What's wrong with our kid? Why does our kid keep us up at night? God, how do these people have like three kids? We can't even handle one. Oh my God. Oh my God. Wah, wah, wah. You're the complainer. If you were any of these, this would be you.
Yeah, but I don't do it outwardly to like other people. I do it to you.
And you write it on Facebook sometimes.
Nuh-uh. Like one day, I think I said, oh, my poor kid can't catch a break. I wasn't like, oh my God, my kid. Like, no, like I wasn't like that. My kid can't catch a break. The poor kid was sick for an entire month. He had the croup, and then he had coughing, and then he had snots, and then he couldn't sleep, and he just was in bed, and he was miserable. Like, kid can't catch a break. What do you want me to do? Right? No, you don't think so?
No, I just think that this is more you.
But have you seen this? Have you experienced this with other parents who just complain all the time?
Yeah, but you just want to give that person a hug, because I've been the complainer, too. I have. We have a judgment-free zone. We have a wine of the week. We could have like just a whole episode of wines. You and I whine a lot about our kid,
again,
and we love him.
But
we love him
dearly.
There's
a purpose. There's a purpose there. We're doing a show. It's supposed to be like that. These are for people that just complain about their kid because
but
that's
we do
all
it to
they
our
do.
Friends. Our friends come over and they watch football and they're like, "How's Reese? What would you say right now? How's Reese?"
I'd say that he's having a hard time because he's really sick and he's not sleeping well.
Wah-wah, complainer. Life is
that's
so hard with one kid.
You asked a question. The complainer is the person that gives this information voluntarily, like without being prodded or prompted.
They're, okay.
They initiate the conversation being like, oh, my freaking kid, he sucks. You know, like, complainers, oh my God, don't complain about your kid all the time. You have created life. It's a miracle.
Now you're sounding like me, because that's what I say to you at 2 a.m. when you're complaining, and I'm like, sweetheart, he's only 21 months old. Give him a break. He's sick. Stop complaining.
And I'm like, God, motherfucking sinking. You know, like getting him and, oh my God, that's just miserable.
Number 8 is the devaluer.
The devaluer is the person that says, you're not a parent unless you have two kids. Or someone that just like, you know, like they just devalue everything about you as a parent. I'm sorry. What the heck did you just say to me? I'm not a parent because I don't have two kids.
Blake was actually told that in real life.
I was. And I think this happens all the time. Oh my God, honey, you have no idea until you have two people or two kids running around in diapers.
You think you're tired now?
Oh my God, wait till you have two or three.
Well, at least you only have two. I have four. You have no idea what tired is.
Are you kidding me? I'm a parent. And being a parent sucks. Ass sometimes. Sometimes it's really great.
You need to stop swearing. You're going to have to bleep all those out.
Sorry. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's terrible. Sometimes it's just mediocre. But I'm still a parent regardless. Don't, like, tell me that I'm not a parent. Or don't devalue my parenting skills. Don't devalue my emotion as I'm sitting there bouncing my kid up and down on a yoga ball because he's colicky and won't sleep for 3 hours. Are you telling me I'm less of a parent than you because I only have one kid?
I hear some other devaluers go the opposite route. Like, wow, you're going to have a lot of kids. You won't be able to give your firstborn a lot of attention. You won't be able to give your second one the amount of attention and love that you gave the first one.
I know.
And it's like, oh
well, how do you know? Right? Like, how do you, like, that's my kid. And if I have enough room in my heart and my love to spare my time and my attention for that other kid. Not even spare, just carve out.
These are people, though, they're like bullies. That's why. That's what you just have to tell yourself. When people devalue you, it's because they're not happy with something in their own life.
Well, speaking of bullies, let's get into the next one.
Number 9, the know-it-aller.
Oh, my God. These people. They're the ones who are a parent. And they're like a parent before you. And they're telling you, oh, my God, what you need to know is this. You're going to experience this. You're going to experience that. You're going to need this. You're going to have to talk like this. And everything that you do, I'm telling you right now so that you just already know. Are you kidding me? I have a kid. I'm going to have a kid. My kid's going to be different than yours. What if your kid is this perfect little freaking angel, right, that just does whatever he feels like doing? My kid's freaking Godzilla. He trounces around this brand new house and just eats and farts and poops and pees and cries and doesn't sleep. He jumps everywhere. He ruins everything. What does that other person know about my kid?
I know. It's so tough. We got this a lot just because Reese had colic and people were like, oh, you just need to let him, you just need to read this book or you should be doing this. And you try their advice when it work, or maybe you already tried it 2 months ago and it wouldn't work, or maybe you just don't want to try their advice because it's not your cup of tea, but they think that this is why your kid acts this way.
Yeah.
This is why.
And if they're doing that, then this is exactly what you need to do in order to stop it. Come on now. Really? Are you kidding me? Get off my back. Worry about your freaking kid. Let me worry about my kid, right?
Well, and I think the same can be said for your marriage or your relationship after you have a kid, or even what the mom goes through physically after giving birth. Everybody feels different, man.
Yeah, but let me figure it out. Let me go through it all.
What about having some helpful guidance, though? It's nice to have someone say, this is what worked for me.
No, I mean...
I like that guidance.
If you go to a person and you're like, hey, my kid has X, Y, and Z issue. Can you tell me what you think I should be able to do to fix it? And that person comes up to you and says, yeah, hey, this is how you fix X, Y, and Z. At least it worked for me. Then, yes, makes perfect sense. But again, the know-it-aller is a person that just comes out without prompting and says, oh, yeah, this is what you're going through? No problem. This is how you fix it. Don't worry about it. Like, that's my problem with that. If I come to you and I ask your advice, great. If not, let me figure it out. I want nothing to do with what you have to say because it probably doesn't apply to my child.
Number 10, the Pinterest perfectioner. These are the people who make me feel really badly about myself. And then I say it's okay because I'm not a Pinterest person. Well, I'm on Pinterest all the time. I look at it and I say, wow, that looks so pretty. And man, if I like cooked, I would love to cook that. I just like to look at it and then I'll be hungry and I'll go make ramen or something. But these are the people who, I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how. They have like the perfect houses and the perfect outfits and Christmas pictures, and they send everything out. They're like Little Miss Manners,
and they have like parties, and every little thing has like a label, or every little dish is like matched perfectly to like the table, which is matched perfectly to the curtains, which is matched perfectly to the outside exterior of the house. Like, you're a super mom, okay? That's what you are. And what you've done is you have perfected every little detail about it. And you know, I'm happy for you. If that's what gets you off, great. But I hate it. I can't stand it.
Maybe they're just really good planners, though. Maybe if we planned better instead of like the day before Reese's first birthday party when I went to the party store and bought a tablecloth.
And got pizza.
Yeah. Maybe these people are just really good planners.
Yeah, I agree. But like then they take these pictures and like these are people are also the oversharers. They take this stuff and then they just proliferate that out into the ether. And they're like, oh my God, look at my kid's party. He's so special.
And then people pin that party and then more of us look at it and say, man, that's so nice.
Yeah, but that's not impressing me. In fact, that's not impressing anybody. You have no freaking life.
It impresses me. It impresses me a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm proud of these people. Being a parent is hard, and I sometimes forget to wear deodorant, and I don't know until halfway through the day when I'm conducting, and I'm like, whoa.
Dude, I that was freaking stanky. Rick.
Okay, like, I am not a good party planner. I don't do very well with decorations. It's just not my cup of tea, and I admire these people who can do it. I don't know how they do it. I really think it's like a superpower.
Oh, my God.
I'm in awe of these people. You don't like them. I am in awe of them. It's just like when you're in awe of an Olympian and you're like, how do you run so fast? How do you, or like those
how
people
do you make that
jump,
much pasta and make it look perfect?
Those people that jump so far.
Yeah. No.
Like, I try to jump far, doesn't work.
No, that doesn't impress me as
it's
as
like
much
when I watch cooking shows. It's like I was watching Rachel Ray today when I was getting manicure, and she's mm-hmm. like, ooh, look at me. Here's me with my four cheese rigatoni or whatever, and whips it up like nothing. And everyone's clapping and ooing and aahing. And I'm like, God, she has like five pots going on at once. She's smiling. She looks fabulous.
But Rachel Ray can go pound sand too.
She's like a Pinterest perfecter, and I'm jealous. All right, number 11, the tech faker.
Oh, these people. I know you've seen this, and I know it drives you insane, too. And listen, if you want to get your kid's life, like, all taken care of, and, like, you want to record your kid doing whatever you want to record him doing, fine. That's no problem. Use your smartphone. Use like, a video camera that you have, right? Get, like, a GoPro or something. If I see one more person take out an iPad, right, and take a picture of their kid or film a video of their kid doing something, I'm going to
burst.
With
the iPad. The iPad photo takers. That you're right.
That, I can't.
Just get your digital camera. Like, why? Basically, when they do it, it becomes a small screen for the people behind them because you're blocking their view. So it's like when you go to a concert and you can't really see the stage, so you're watching it on a projector.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's like. It's like you've suddenly been demoted. You can't watch your own kid. You have to look at the person's iPad screen.
What are we doing? Like, let's say if, like, you're at, like, a play and, like, you hold up, you know, the iPad to take. Nobody behind you could see that play going on.
Nope. No, and why did you bring an iPad? Can you fit that in your little purse?
If you have an iPad, I'm pretty much going to guarantee you have a smartphone.
Yes, or at least a digital camera. iPads are expensive. Don't tell me you just spent all of your money on an iPad.
For what? It don't do nothing other than play your music,
go on the internet,
and take big pictures. And the camera, it ain't as good necessarily as your smartphone.
No, it always has a smaller megapixel. You're right about that.
I hate these people.
Number 12, the includer.
These are the people that take their kid and they go to, like, a nice fancy restaurant.
Yep.
And they just let their kid cry and run around and go crazy. Listen, I don't mind if you go to, like, Fridays. I don't mind if you go, like, here in Rhode Island, Greg's. Or if you go to, you know, one of those style restaurants. Everybody's got the local, like, haunt where they go to.
But I went to nice places when my kid was little and
I
could wear him.
That's okay. If your kid's a newborn, like, he ain't going to really do nothing. He's just going to sit there and sleep, right? Or he's gonna babble a little bit, and it's all gonna go away. Or even if he was a little upset, you'd breastfeed him, right? With
yeah.
the cover, great. That would shut him up.
With or without the cover, I am breastfeeding friendly.
Oh my God!
Get
oh
over
God.
It, Blake. Oh it's coming back. I'm gonna have a baby in May.
Listen, I love breastfeeding. I love it. I think it's great. Just do the cover.
I don't always feel like it, and I'm going to have a newborn in the summer. Oh sorry, God, it gets hot.
Oh, my God. All right, well, listen. These are the people that take, like, Reese right now, who's 20 months old, right? They take Reese, who's 20 months old, and they bring him to, like, the Capitol Grill or that style restaurant. You know what
fancy.
I'm talking about? Like, the fancy restaurant. And they just let him run around and, like, throw food everywhere and cry and be miserable and jump up and down and, like, dude, I'm at the Capitol Grill. I'm here to have a nice steak. I'm here to be with my wife. I'm here to enjoy the good service, have a quiet night. Don't bring your kid to the Capitol Grill. Unless the kid is like a newborn or your kid's 20 and he can understand the fact that you're getting good service here. Get a babysitter. If you really need to go to the Capitol Grill, you have enough money to get a babysitter. I promise.
Guess who woke up?
Oh, my God.
Ready?
That's our kid.
Yep. We're going to take a short break.
Okay, so we're back. Sorry about that. Our child woke up, and he's still crying and jumping in his crib right now.
You know,
so what for you was about 3 seconds, not even, for us was about a good 20 minutes.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys. So we are completely neglecting our child as we finish this podcast.
No, we're not. We're just doing the 5, 10, 15 minute method.
Yes. But so the includer, these are the people that just, they take their kids and they ruin everybody else's really good time. Don't bring your kid. Come on, let me have my good time. You know what I mean? Let me do what I want to do. If I want to conduct business, let me conduct business. If I want to have a nice meal with my wife, let me have a nice meal with my wife. Don't let your kid ruin my time. That's what I'm getting at. You know what I mean?
Jelly bean. Number 13, the doctor. I love our doctor.
No. Our doctor is phenomenal. Our Dr. McGee, she is an absolute lifesaver. So if you're in Rhode Island, if you need a doctor for your kid or whatever, or no, you need a doctor for you as you're pregnant.
She's a family doctor.
So sure, that too. Go to Dr. McGee at Memorial Hospital. Like, you know, I'm sure Women and Infants is great. It's the big baby factory in Rhode Island. It's a great hospital. It has its purposes. But if you just want to have someone who's really personal and whatever, Dr. McGee is the best. Anyway, the doctor are those parents who seem to have a solution for every single ailment your kid has. And they have no problem telling you that, oh, yeah, you know what? Your kid has colic. He probably has a tummy ache.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who the doctor usually is?
Who?
My mom.
Well, half the time she's actually kind of right.
That's what sucks. Because at first, you know, and she's like, oh, I think Reese has croup. I was like, Mom, no, you're just saying this because you agreed to babysit overnight and it's 12:30 at night and he woke up just because he wakes up every single night and you're just going to make it up that he has croup so that I have to come get him at 12:30 at night.
No. I had to go get him at 12:30.
Right. I just answered the phone. Yeah. And truth be told, he did have croup. So.
He did. Oh, he was super sick.
But yeah, I mean, I think when you have people who are your age who are just as new parents as you and who are giving you just different ideas, it can be overwhelming. I find it overwhelming because everyone has different insights. Like everyone has, oh, you should try this, you should try that. But I ask for it. So I don't.
Sure.
I wouldn't say that I have anyone who's come up to me who I'm like, oh, you're that annoying doctor-like person. I put on Facebook, hey, I think my kid has croup. What did you guys do for croup? And I get everything from essential oils to take him in the shower, to bring him outside, to give him Benadryl at night, to help him sleep, to good luck, you know? And so all these people have pretty much doctor prescriptions written out for me, but I ask for it.
Agreed. And I think the common denominator here is if you aren't asking or you aren't engaging people, but these people just continue to volunteer the information without any prompting. Come on, dude. Like, why are you trying to butt into my parenting skills? And especially these people. Who or what college class did you take or did you earn a PhD in the past 15 minutes that I haven't seen you? Really? You're going to tell me that my kid, if you give my kid essential oils or whatever, then his bad sleeping is going to go away. No, you're wrong.
I wish.
I know. Right? So that's what I'm talking about. These are the people that you got to watch out for, the doctors. They just volunteer this information thinking that they're something special.
Number 14, the elder. Who's the elder?
The elder is the parent that has been there, done that, gone through it, and they expect you to do it the same exact way.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
And it's not necessarily just about like, oh, take your kid and make sure he has, you know, X, Y, and Z vitamins or whatever. But like, it's the parent that expects you to do things because that's how they did it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Oh, I expect you to parade your kid around because that's what I did. I expect you to just succumb to every one of my needs because I've already gone through all of this.
A lot of people do this. They just expect that new moms are going to breastfeed.
Yeah.
And
that may not necessarily be the case.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's the people that are either pissed off because they did it one way and now that way has changed, or they're pissed off because you're doing something different and they're seeing you succeed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like those people that tell you, oh, colic is fake. There's no such thing. Colic was easy. This is how I did it. No way.
We're still so traumatized by colic.
You need to literally punch yourself in the face over and over and over again.
Oh my gosh. Ouch, 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 ouch.
I'm just telling you, just because you've had your kids and you've gone through it, great. I will take your advice under advisement. But I'm not going to allow you to dictate my parenting style, and I'm not going to allow you to get mad at me if I choose a different way. You know what I mean?
Whew, man.
It's not going to happen. No. I'm going to raise my kid the way that I feel like doing it. And if you have a problem with that, then go punch yourself in the face over and over and over again.
You are so cruel. People are not going to like you after this episode. Last one. Oh, Blake, this is like half of our city. Number 15 is the hipster. What does the hipster have to do with parenting?
The hipster parent is the parent that does everything like contrary to what every other parent does.
So why can't you just call them the contrarians?
Well, because that's what hipsters are. They do they're ironic to be ironic.
Okay.
And they just hate everything because they hate everything.
Okay.
For no reason other than the fact they just feel like hating it. It's cool to hate it. And that's what I'm saying about these parents. Like, they're going to name their kid Wingspan, you know? Or like Bagel. No, stop it. You're being too clever now. You're being just a little too clever. You're a freaking hipster. Really? Stop trying so hard to be off color. Nobody cares that much about you or your kid.
Wait, I promise. Give me another like hipster-ish, contrarian-ish situation.
Another hipster-ish situation I feel like would be, you know what I'm going to do?
What?
Just because I feel like I'm going to put my kid into Montessori school.
Montessori schools have very interesting educational philosophies. I think Montessori is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's a hipster school.
You know the one that does get me?
What?
The elimination.
What do you mean?
Stuff where your kid just doesn't wear a diaper ever. And you like learn their signs. That's dedication.
And like you throw down newspaper and you're like, oh, little Bagel today, he's going to go out and he's going to be free and he's just going to not wear shoes ever. No. Your kid needs shoes. It's snowing. It's got 5 inches of snow out.
You goodness. Know,
little Bagel's not going to have any feet anymore because they're going to be black and you're going to have to cut them off. I promise. What's going to happen.
I feel like you have hurt everyone's feelings in this episode. And I think I was half of them.
I think you may or may not have been half of them.
At least I didn't name my kid Bagel. It is a possibility for the second one.
All right. What do you say we get into the wines of the week?
You know who's really excited about the wines of the week?
Who?
This kid.
Oh,
this
no.
kid.
That's our kid.
Mama.
All
mama.
Right. All right, let's just do the wines of the week. Let's get this episode over with.
Yep.
All right, here we go.
My wine of the week needs to go first.
Okay, what do you got?
My doctor said, hey, Mary, your kid's had a cough ever since he had croup. He doesn't sleep anymore. I want you to double his dose of Benadryl to knock that sucker out so that he can eventually get some good sleep so that his body will stop coughing. Well, I know what Benadryl does to my kid.
What does it do?
That. We have one of the few kids that has the adverse reaction to Benadryl, I guess.
Just makes him more
what?
Like up.
What? What am I supposed to do, doctor? I don't even know.
I need a real doctor to show up and tell me what to do.
That's my wine of the week.
My wine of the week is that my kid has been absolutely like that for the past, oh, geez, I don't know, a couple weeks? Just inconsolable. Will
That's
not go
of
to
his
sleep.
Cough. And his he cough. Just,
it wakes him up and like, dude, I can't.
And
anymore.
We check up on him and we give him lots of loving and all he wants is mama.
I know we're ignoring him right now for about 10 minutes or so, and then that's fine, but like dude, it's been brutal. And I don't know what to do anymore. I'm at that point where I'm at a loss. I really am. Like, if anybody out there, any of our listeners can actually tell me what to do, I will do anything you tell me.
I put a book in there. He has toys in his bed. So if he can't sleep because he's hyped up on Benadryl, we should probably stop giving him Benadryl.
I know. Did you give him the sleepy time tea? We're supposed to give him sleepy time tea, too.
I tried. He said it was too hot.
All right, let's do the wins of the week.
Okay.
All right, my win of the week,
yes,
is that my kid knows how to tell me what's hot. He opens his mouth and he goes, like,
except he does it for anything that is over cold.
Yeah, if it is like
lukewarm
or greater, if it's just slightly above cold, if it's mildly temperate,
like if it's over 36 degrees, he thinks it's hot.
It's. It's just
and he
so
won't
fun.
Eat it.
It's so funny. Oh my god. Oh, kid, what do you got?
I'm glad that that's your win.
Oh, it's great. It shows that my kid's smart. Like, he also knows how to do cold too. Like, he rubs his arms.
Yeah, that's the sign for cold. I taught him that.
Oh,
that's
my god,
that means.
It's phenomenal. I love how he does that. It's so great. Why? What do you got? What's your win?
My win is that Reese, aside from being sick perpetually, he's in a really big mama phase right now.
Oh, I know, it's so cute,
and I love it a lot. And I taught him how to give kisses, and he does it like open mouthed, kind of gross, but it's just so cute. And he insists upon giving you kisses on both cheeks. So I'm in heaven. I'm in mama heaven because I know it's not going to last very long. And as soon as second baby comes, he's going to be pretty mad at mama. So I'm soaking it up as long as I can.
Who knows what's going to happen? You know what? I'm going for a second round of Dexter music because that was so freaking awesome. It's been so long since I've had Dexter music. I'm doing it again, baby. Let's do it. Turn it up. Oh God, I love Dexter music. It's the best. Okay, parent pick. What do you got, kiddo?
My parent pick of the week goes to this company called Ava Anderson, which was actually based out of Rhode Island. And it's like all good for you and your family products, like no toxins and just good stuff. Anyway, they make a bajillion different types of products like skincare, house cleaning, all this stuff. And I just love their diaper cream. Mm-hmm. It smells so good.
Oh, is that the diaper cream that costs like $40?
No, it's $14, I think. It's not $40. But it's just smooth. It's diaper cream that like you could put it on your kid's bum and you can wash your hands after and it's still not stuck there. Yeah. It's not the type of diaper cream that's like for the serious rash. Like, mm-hmm, if your kid's on antibiotics and they get serious diaper rash. This is like your everyday. You might have a slight diaper rash. Maybe you have eczema. It's great for eczema. It's great for chapped lips. I mean, it's great for a lot of things.
It smells pretty good too.
It does, and it makes you feel good. I just wish that there was even more in it. Because I really love it. I just want to slather it on them all the time because it smells good and I don't feel sticky.
I want to slather it all over me or you. How about we do that?
Ew, that, no.
No, not a good thing?
No, thank you.
All right, my parent pick, it was going to be Benadryl, but apparently we have a crying kid, which isn't working out for us.
Nope.
So now my parent pick is going to be, you know those clips that you can clip on to your kid with his pacifier? Like it clip it onto his clothes and at the end of it's a pacifier.
Yeah.
Well, it's in that nature. It's winter here in Rhode Island right now. Mm-hmm. And it's yesterday was 0 degrees, as a matter of fact. Today we have about 2 inches of snow. One of the things that happens is I cannot keep track of his gloves or his mittens.
Yes.
So it's in the same vein as the pacifier thing. It's these clips that clip onto the edge of his jacket and that clip onto his mittens,
uh-huh,
that keep them organized and on his jacket no matter what. And they're long enough where he can still wear it clipped. I love these things.
I love that you called it after the pacifier. They're just called mitten clips.
Are they mitten clips?
You mean?
So I made it way more difficult than it needed to be.
They're just called mitten clips.
Wow, it sounds like everything I do in parenting, just making it difficult. Oh my God. So yeah, get yourself some mitten clips.
Google mitten clips. Every single site, that's what they call them. It's not some.
I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? I'm a guy. I don't know.
I was ready for you to be like, they're kind of like suspenders, but short.
Yeah, suspenders. That's
suspenders for your mittens.
Oh, my God.
You know those things? Anyway.
Oh, what do you think, kid?
I think we're done.
You think we're done?
I just feel bad because I feel like we just put down a lot of people, and that's just not really in my keeping of my personality. So
it's the airing of parental grievances. You're allowed to do this 1 year.
Oh, God.
You're allowed to air the grievances. It's Festivus. It's a Festivus for the rest of us.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So don't feel bad about it. We can go back to being the judgment-free zone. We can going back to being the non-judgy parents and coming on this podcast and getting back to what to do, how to do it, and make yourself feel better in parenting. That's what we're all about here. And we can get back to that. Now it's over with. We got it out of our system,
okay.
Right? Fair
okay.
enough?
Okay, I can deal with that.
Okay, fair enough. So, sweetheart, where do people find us?
You can find us at parentcastpodcast.com and also on Twitter and Facebook and all that loveliness on social media. Just search for ParentCast.
And if you can get us on the email machine at parentcastpodcast@gmail.com. So, all right, what do you say we close out the show?
Sounds great.
All right, let's do it. So make sure you come back and get us some listener feedback. It's important to us. Tell us your grievances. I promise it'll be okay. And coming up next, what are we going
to
do?
We're going to talk to new moms.
So you're a new mom. Everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about anything.
Don't listen to those Pinterest people. Don't listen to the naysayers. You're all right.
I promise you're going to be fine. Hey, and call the hotline, too, with all your grievances. 503-454-6730.
And let us know what we can do, because Benadryl isn't working.
And let us know how to close out a show within the time that we have for the music.
I feel like we had to talk this fast like the Micro Machines man.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye. We need sleep.